Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, you're back inside the bullpen with the producers from ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Wait, who let those guys up here?
Security?
That's them right there. Right there.
Who let it down?
It's the bullpen here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joe George and Josh Beard here with you another hour. Josh is in for Andrew. Andrew will be back next week. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Josh, you're one.
Happy Father's Day. I am a dad. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Happy Father's Day to me.
Happy. Yeah, you're a dad, too. Happy Father's Day to you.
I don't think Josh Chevy's
a
dad
yet. You'll be a good dad, Josh. I believe that.
Are you a dog dad?
Not even a dog dad, but I have a joke in my head, but I'm not going to make it on air.
So let's talk about, sometimes we want to start some controversy on the station. We're not going to start that now.
Oh, I never get to be a part of the controversy.
Do you think that Paul loves his cats more than some of us love our kids?
No. 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 You know how I know?
Because he kicked his cat off the bed?
Well, that. You know how I know? I would jump in front of a bullet for my kids.
You don't think Paul would do that for
his
cat? I
don't think he would jump in front of a bullet for his cat.
I don't know.
I love my animals to death. They're awesome. Love them. Would not take a bullet for one of them. I would just sit there and be like, oh, that's super sad, but I'm alive.
Okay.
It would be fine.
Last thing before. Does Paul celebrate Father's Day with his cat?
Absolutely.
Yes.
That's just the quickest yes of all time.
Like, he definitely like celebrates, buys himself a gift, says it's from the cat for him. Like, they share a moment together.
Yeah.
Nice meal.
He wakes up. He's like, Aria. Hey, Aria, I got you a little snack that you can eat. Oh, it's happy Father's Day to me, little girl. 100%. That's what's happening right now.
All right. So the Astros trade deadline, the MLB trade deadline, just about 6 weeks away, August 1st. We talked a lot about the offense earlier, the pitching, the bullpen. There's a lot of problems right now. We talk about the Astros like they're the Royals or the A's. It's so funny. They're 8 games above 500. But things are not great. Is it possible like they need to add one of everything? that if Michael Brantley is not back, they need to add a left fielder. They're worried about Hunter Brown's pitch clock or innings pitched. You know, you don't really know what you're getting out of Jose Urquidy. How long can you really rely on? I think you might be able to rely on JP France, like we talked about earlier, for the whole season.
Yeah.
But the other two guys, not so much. It's like you probably need a starter. And you can't ignore that right now, the only thing working for Ryan Pressly is a slider. So he's throwing it so much that he's getting beat on that too.
Yep.
And Montero has been more up than down as of recent. Phil Maton's been a little more down than up. Abreu's been shaky. Yep. Stanek just came back from the bereavement list. But like, the bullpen's not been great either. So like, I think there's an argument that like you could use all three at the deadline.
Here's the best part about that. So when you say it like that, you're like, oh, that we need a little bit of everything. But we just did this in our Dynasty football group. You know those little things that you get on social media that's like, you have $15 to spend and you have to form your team. And like, we don't need to buy any of those $5 players, right? We don't have that one big need. We can spend a little bit of money and a little bit of assets in all of these different areas. And because there's not a huge, massive, glaring need at any one of those spots, I think this gives the Astros the opportunity to be frugal and find good bargains on guys in each of those spots. So get a bat that's not a premier bat, but he's going to be one that's going to help you in spots in different positions. Get a reliever that's going to be able to come in and help when guys are struggling, and it's just another arm that you could throw out there. Get another starter, like we said earlier, that can come in those starts after those Hunter Brown starts and be that guy who really kind of keeps that rotation going and keeps those starters going and gives everybody a little bit more rest.
Frankly, I think you saw like two of the three the other day.
Yeah.
I think Corey Dickerson is a good left field, first base, DH bat that you could add from the Nationals. But also, I think there's two guys in their bullpen you saw. Carl Edwards Jr., you know, he was a really promising prospect for the Cubs once upon a time. But like, he fell apart, and then he's really rebuilt his career. But that Finnegan kid Kyle Finnegan throws gas.
Yeah.
Like, he was touching 99, looked like effortlessly, every single pitch. So, like, I think honestly, I think I start there.
Yeah.
Like, you could get – if, and a lot of it, it just hinges on Michael Brantley. Michael Brantley is such an unknown. Where even if you if he came back, I think you almost have to add a bat banking on him getting hurt again.
I'll be honest. I think Michael Brantley at this point, he's not a part of the long-term plans.
And yeah, he's on a one-year deal.
Yeah, he's not a part of the long-term plans. He's going to be gone after this season. And I think I would rather run the risk of him coming back and trying to find a way to fit him in than not make a move and just hope for the best.
Yes. If Michael Brantley, you should be acquiring a left fielder that can play first base.
Yeah.
So if Jose Abreu slumps again dramatically, you have some options to give Jose Abreu time to figure it out. Even though I think we're all hopeful that Jose Abreu is in June is who he is for the rest of the year, if not even better at some point. But it would be better for the Astros for us to be looking at the World Series lineup and being like, I can't believe Michael Brantley's not in it today.
Yeah.
I can't believe that they're playing Corey Dickerson over Michael Brantley because Abreu's hot, Bregman's good. You can't take him out of the lineup, obviously. Like, it's almost – I'd rather be in a position – to where people are having to try to call into radio stations and be like, Kyle Tucker, play him center field.
Yeah.
Play Brantley and play Dickerson in left and right and play Tucker in center. Like, play Jordan at DH.
Yeah.
Like,
it's that. Options. I would much rather be complaining about options than complaining about, oh no, now we have nothing. We didn't make a move.
So
we don't have Brantley. There is no bat there. I'd much rather have those option calls.
I think that's where it would be wise to add a bat. You know, Dana Brown keeps talking publicly, and he's talking about pitching, and he keeps talking about starters. So I think there is a need to add another arm in the bullpen, even though they've been pretty solid this year. Really, the ERA is great. Like, same with the rotation. I think there is a need for both of those. Obviously, one can benefit the other because, you know, could JP France be effective out of the bullpen? Maybe. Like, I'm not totally sure about that because like, we haven't seen it. But is it possible? Sure. So we both kind of acknowledge like they could use one of each. If you could only have two of the three, if you knew you could acquire a starter, a bullpen, and a bat, this is the same exact quality player. Like, this is an above average player.
Right.
This is not, you know, you're not the Dodgers calling for Tim Anderson. You're not calling about Shohei Ohtani.
Right.
Three above-average baseball players that improve the Astros' chances to win the World Series. You can only have two of the three, a bullpen arm, a starter, or a bat. Which of the two do you take?
I'm going with a starter and the bat. Yeah. I think the bullpen's been – would I like an extra arm in there to help out? Absolutely. But I think the bullpen has done enough to make me go, you know what, I'd much rather have that extra arm in the starting rotation – and I'd rather have more versatility and more options with the bats.
I would lean that way too, starter and bat,
because
I think the lineup needs it, and you can't bank on Michael Brantley. You know, the biggest issue with the lineup right now is Alex Bregman. I really do believe
that.
Because if Jose Abreu were to really struggle, or Jake Myers or Chaz McCormick or whoever's in left field, if any of those guys were to really struggle, I don't think they have the loyalty that Dusty Baker gives to Martin Maldonado. But Alex Bregman's a $30 million baseball player. He needs to be better. He will never be who he was when he nearly won MVP. That's long gone.
Yeah.
It's over. But just like get on base, solid contact. Like the pop will come occasionally. Just get on base. Be that guy. He's not that guy right now.
No. We just need him. Just 250, 260 range. Get on base more often than
And you can't replace him.
No.
Like he's locked in. He is honestly, to me, the biggest issue with like the offense right now, that he's the one guy who's not performing that I'm not totally sure it will fix itself like Jose Altuve, and you can't replace.
I will bring this up. The last time I said this was in 2017, whenever he was struggling at the bat, or he was struggling at the plate to start the season. Do you think there's a world where the Astros should consider trading him?
Right now, no.
I agree. I think I'd rather watch him work his way out of it, and he's still too good and too beneficial to even consider.
I don't think there should be any consideration to re-signing Alex Bregman.
You're correct.
I just, unless he is this way for the next 2 years and he becomes a $12 million baseball player instead of a $30 to $35 million baseball player when he hits free agency.
Yeah.
I think that door, to me, should be closed. I would overpay and be okay with a not so great Altuve because he's earned it. And it's not that Bregman hasn't either, but everyone else has walked. Correa's walked. Tucker will probably walk.
Springer
walks. Everyone walks. Yeah. Like Bregman got actually more time than everyone else.
Yeah.
And like, so, but this next contract, I'm not paying him. This offseason, I would take calls.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not making those kinds of trades in season.
No, but at the end of the season, that's whenever they should.
I would be curious, like, what the return value would be.
At
like,
least see what his market value is in
trade. Especially because if you know he's not going to. I wonder if Dana Brown will have a different approach than the last two GMs.
Yeah.
Who they knew that Springer, Correa, all these guys weren't going to come back. Luno and Click knew that. And I wonder if Dana Brown will have a different approach. Only time will tell.
Yeah.
But, like, if he knows they can't pay Kyle Tucker. Because Jim Crane won't go 10 years. Do you just let him walk? Or do you be more aggressive? I think it's a really fascinating question that, like, Alex Bregman will probably be the first guy we get a real answer for. What have you only get one? We'll answer that question next. Plus, NFL.com, Adam Schein put out 9 bold predictions for the 2023 NFL season. We went over them yesterday on the Killer Bees, but Josh and I love talking football, so I got to hear his reaction to some of these, especially, I don't know, Sam Darnold in the Super Bowl. Like, what are we doing? That's next here on The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.com. We keep getting away with it.
You can't keep getting away with it!
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's The Bullpen, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
So George and Josh Beard here with you till 2 o'clock. So we were just talking about the upcoming trade deadline for the Houston Astros, potentially needing an arm in the bullpen, in the rotation, and a bat. Michael Brantley, just 20 minutes ago, was on the field at Minute Maid taking some live BP. That's a good thing.
That's good news. That's very good news. I don't want anybody
it's just
to
so
think,
tough.
We're not Brantley haters here. I love Uncle Mike. Well, like, he's awesome.
The thing is, Uncle Mike was on, you could listen on ESPN 92.5, Sugarland Space Cowboys games. He was playing good baseball.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it was like, the inflammation's back and he's out again for a while. So it's this weird thing with Brantley where he was so close to coming back and then all of a sudden was out. That, like, I just don't know, like, really, like, what to expect. Honestly,
yeah,
I would like to assume he will be back, but I just because the inflammation popped up so last minute after it seemed like he was ready. Like the day he was out of the lineup, people thought he was getting called up, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh, he's out. And it was, so it's just like that's
it's
where
the opposite.
It's the worst case scenario. But we were talking about, so we said if you could have two of the three,
yeah,
it would be starter and a bat. But what if you could only have one?
Ugh.
So you can only have an above-average starter, bat, or bullpen arm.
This is tough, and I know I just said I wouldn't want to gamble on Brantley, but I do think that lineup is so good. If they can get people healthy and some of the guys can get back on track, it's still one of the best lineups in baseball. And I would want to use the deadline to look towards the playoffs. And looks toward a playoff run, so I'm going to go with a starting pitcher.
I think
that's the no-brainer move. Like,
it's weird because like the offense is so bad.
Yeah.
Josh, are you a Rangers fan?
No.
Okay, no Twitch. Josh is not a Rangers fan.
No, I grew up a Rangers fan, and when I moved back to Houston, I was still a Rangers fan. Started watching the Astros more. When they refused to do the home-and-home after Hurricane Harvey, I already hated John Daniels. I was full out on that franchise. I was already 1.5 feet out the door, but I haven't been a Rangers fan in years.
So there's your answer, Twitchers. Yeah. He is not a Rangers
fan. Yeah, I'm not a Rangers fan.
But it is a, like, the lineup is just producing so little, it does feel like the obvious answer is bat. But I'm just going to look at it from, like, the long-term perspective of this team, that if they're worried about Hunter Brown and his innings pitched, and you've got Christian Javier, who's – velocity hasn't been exactly what you want it to be. It's been down compared to last year.
Yeah.
Like, I would look at this team and say that adding a star above average starter is more important because they already told you what they think about Jose Urquidy.
Yeah.
That when you play an 18-inning baseball game, to win the ALDS against the Mariners, or in the second game of the ALDS, whatever it was, Jose Urquidy was the only pitcher that didn't participate. The only time Jose Urquidy made an appearance in the playoffs was when Justin Verlander dumped the bed.
Yep.
Like, they told you what they thought of Jose Urquidy last year. Now, they told you also that they wouldn't trade him for Wilson Contreras. I think in retrospect, that's a reflection of who Wilson Contreras is versus who Jose Urquidy is.
Right.
So that's why I think starter is the answer, even though it's hard to ignore the bat, because if healthy, Yordan Alvarez, he just kind of makes up for it, to be honest.
He does.
Like, when if Altuve, Tucker, and Alvarez are going, like, those three guys can carry a team themselves. Like, they just, they can. Like, it, they, that's how good those three players are when they're at their peak. They basically can, they can win you a playoff series versus most teams, especially a team like the Rangers, who, like, I don't believe in their offense long term. I think their bullpen's garbage. My guess is they'll go, they'll hardcore address that at the deadline. Like, I just, I'm not a believer.
And that's why you need some, like, that's, they only need some of these other guys to start stepping up a little bit more. That's it.
Just a little
bit. And then having these other, the Dubons and the Jokes that, and the Diazes who come in and they've got nice pop, or they hit really well in certain situations. I didn't realize Dubon's numbers against lefties were as strong as they were.
He's been so good this year.
And so that's why I look at that and say, we get everybody back healthy. They've got guys stepping back up and at least being average hitters. And the other three dudes, just, it's a murderer's row of batters that pitchers have to go through. And if other guys are at least just getting on base, they're going to make sure that they bring them in.
And this is where I go back to the Alex Bregman problem.
Yeah.
That if you told me that the Astros for the rest of the season are not going to get Michael Brantley back, but are going to have Mauricio Dubon, Chaz McCormick, Jake Myers, Yonier Diaz be like your four main guys. They're going to be your center fielder, left fielder, DH, and some kind of combination of those four guys. Yes, sorry, Corey Jokes, but you're not really part of that, I think, when it comes to playoff time. I would be sold. The problem is that they're already doing that, and the offense is still bad because the pieces that you need to improve is really, it's third base, it's catcher. They're not going to move on from Maldi. They're not going to move on from Bregman. So, like, just doing the math, the only place you can really upgrade is left field.
Yes.
I guess you could upgrade at center field. It wouldn't stun me if they went after a big fish. Because, like, it is the reason why James Click basically got fired was because he didn't acquire Starling Marte. So, could Jim Crane go to Dana Brown and could him and Dusty be like, hey, Dana, we want a strong, like, great center fielder, and then these other guys can play left? I think that's possible too, but that to me is almost like semantics.
But there's so much at center field, both on the team and in the farm system. That's,
I know.
That's the biggest issue with making a trade for center field, because I've heard other people talk about that too. And Jake Myers has been great.
He's been
awesome. And we still have Pedro Leon sitting there just doing Pedro Leon things in the minors.
I mean, Drew Gilbert's been garbage.
Drew Gilbert hasn't been as good as he was to start. But
his double-A numbers are frighteningly bad, but he'll figure that out. Like, I also just don't think he's a factor. He, to me, was an opening day center fielder next year, or opening day left fielder next year, and then he's your Kyle Tucker replacement when Kyle Tucker walks in free agency.
Yeah.
And they just keep the pipeline rolling
at
some point. But let's get into these NFL bowl predictions. Adam Schein has done a bunch of these pieces for the NFL. He did one recently on the MVP, which of the top nine guys with the longest odds. So we're going to start at number nine, going to number one, because I feel like he did start with his hottest take at number one. And then in the next segment, we're going to give you our boldest predictions for the NFL season for ourselves, and also what we think for the Texans individually. Number nine, Bill Belichick's final season in New England is playoff free. So the Pats make the playoffs. Not a hot take, obviously. Didn't make it last year. Not a lot of talent on offense besides Ramondre Stevens. I know they have Mike Gesicki, but like, not a lot of talent.
Yeah. I'm not a big Gesicki believer.
You got, I think, Bill O'Brien. But the bigger part of this is that Bill Belichick's done.
Yeah, I don't even know that that's, I don't know that that's a bold prediction.
They
have another playoff free season. Like, if I'm Bill, I'm like, I'm good now.
Yeah, like, it's at some point, because if they don't make the playoffs this year, they're going to have to move on from Mac Jones.
I love in this article how it says his receiving core is subpar. That's a really, really, really nice way of saying
trash.
Trash.
Yeah.
Absolute garbage.
I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster leading the way, man.
And Mac Jones isn't.
All five games he'll play.
Mac Jones is nothing more than an average NFL quarterback. He's fine, but he's not great. He doesn't make guys around him better. I don't think they have anything really crazy on the defensive side of the ball. Like, this isn't a bold prediction to me. This is just what's going to happen. Yeah, I think this is
good. This next one, number 8, rookie Jahmyr Gibbs leads all running backs in touchdowns.
That's not his game.
Like, you have David Montgomery on that team. Jamal Williams last year was the touchdown stealer for Detroit. Now you have David Montgomery. I mean, Gibbs will, like, catch a fair amount of passing touchdowns, too. But, like,
He'll get touchdowns. That's wild to me. People are forgetting that Jonathan Taylor's still in the league after he dealt with ankle issues last year.
If this said rookie Bijan Robinson leads all running backs in touchdowns, fine. I would say sure.
Yeah, that's fine. There's too many mouths to feed. You still got Christian McCaffrey. Who knows what kind of season Derrick Henry is going to have, but he's going to get – Jahmyr Gibbs isn't getting goal line carries.
I think Najee Harris is another guy that, like, could have a real big bounce back year.
The biggest problem with Najee Harris and the Pittsburgh Steelers is what is that passing game going to look like in year two of Kenny Pickett?
Yeah.
And can that pull up – because that was Najee's problem the last 2 years. They just knew that people knew that the Steelers weren't throwing the ball, and if they were, they weren't throwing it efficiently. So he just got torn up.
All right.
But they added offensive line help. They drafted Broderick Jones. They drafted Darnell Washington. So they added some blocking help. I think Najee's going to have a really good year.
Number 7, Justin Jefferson makes NFL history as first 2,000-yard wide receiver.
Love it. I'm down for this. I would love to see this.
I think it's very possible, like, in the fact that, like, just how talented he is. The only thing that really, I think, hurts him is that K.J. Osborne really started to figure it out at the end of last year in that offense. They added Jordan Addison. Now they have a full season of T.J. Hockenson.
Yep.
Like,
there's a lot more mouths to feed now.
Yeah. Like, does Kirk Cousins distribute the ball a little bit more than he did last year? But, like, if someone was going to do it, he'd be my bet.
Yeah. I think that there are enough attempts to go around, especially with the way, I mean, Dalvin Cook, not going to be with the Vikings. Alexander Mattison going to be the starting running back. I think there are going to be enough passing attempts to go around for that to happen. I actually think the addition of Jordan Addison and a full season of T.J. Hockenson makes this more likely for Justin Jefferson because they're going to learn how to open it up a little bit more.
And the loss to Dalvin Cook.
Yes.
And like, I like Madison, but like, they are going to have to throw more to win games.
Yep.
And they're not going to be able to win all those one score games they won last year. So, all right. We got a couple more of these to get through. Plus, we got our bowl predictions. What are yours? 713-780-3776. Once upon a time, Josh Beard went on the flagship station and said Myles Garrett's going to be a bust. Why does that matter? You find out next here on the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5, the only Houston sports station with a bidet.
And the bidet, should it break? Is there a bidet repairman on site?
This is the Bullpen, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
So, George and Josh Beard, going over some pretty hot takes from the NFL, from Adam Schein. My sources tell me that once upon a time, Josh Beard played in a pickup basketball game, that Myles Garrett was there, and Josh, you didn't like the way his body looked or something, and that's why you said he was going to be a bust.
I did play in a pickup basketball game against Myles Garrett, and he dominated the hell out of us. Let's just frame this. I, at the time, was a young, budding, up-and-coming radio superstar.
Were you producing for Paul?
I was producing for Paul at the time. And I didn't like that Myles Garrett was dealing with injuries, and he was kind of injured his last season at A&M, and the only schools where he was getting his multi-sack games and where he was being the most dominant was against worse competition. Mm. And when he was playing against some of the top SEC competition, he wasn't doing nearly as well. And because I had seen him, I saw how he interacted, I thought he was kind of soft. I thought he was kind of a soft guy. And what do we know about defensive linemen whenever they're going, when they get to the NFL? They got to be a little crazy.
I mean,
they got to be mean. They got to be crazy. And I just didn't see that in Myles Garrett. He is a physical dominant freak. And that combined that with the fact that I was a young radio personality that was trying to find
crazy. He threw a helmet at someone.
He wasn't at the time. He's a little crazy now. He found that dog in him.
He tried to kill someone.
He did. He almost did. Yeah, look, we're all allowed to have bad takes.
Oh, I know.
We're all allowed to have it. That's my one. I was trying to like.
It's like what I'm known for. So yeah, at this point,
having bad takes.
Yeah, it's just.
Do you know what my?
It was there at 790. It's carried over here. I can't get away with it. And then sometimes I say stupid things. I put my foot in my mouth. I've got two wagers. I got a wager for a hat with blank that the Bears will win the division this year.
Oh, no.
I got a bottle of Gentle Ben with Jeremy that the Bears will win the division this year.
Oh, no.
I've made four bets on the show. I've lost three of them. we're not hot. We're on a cold streak.
I'll be honest. I don't think there's anything more irritating than guys who work in sports media and act like they're never wrong about anything.
I'm right about a lot of things.
Yeah, most of us are right about a lot of things. Every once in a while, you get one. Every once in a while, you say Myles Garrett's going to be a bust in the NFL, and you're a bit wrong.
I mean, okay? My stats might look more like a baseball player than like a good quarterback. I might be hitting closer to 300 versus shooting 60%.
Yeah.
Like
my two worst takes of all time in sports general. The one is the Myles Garrett take. I just didn't think. I don't know. The other one was I didn't think that Blake was going to be very good in the NBA. Like, and obviously
Blake
he goes,
Griffin?
Yeah, Blake Griffin. Okay. I obviously he goes to the Clippers. He's awesome. He sits out his rookie year.
Dude, I don't know.
I didn't think he was going to be very good in the NBA. He had good years. He had some good moments
solid.
In the NBA. I think there was a 3-year stretch where he was better than solid. Like he was one of the top players in the
NBA.
Yeah,
I mean, he didn't do a lot besides dunk. I mean, he played good defense.
He shot. I mean, he developed a shot after his like first two seasons in the league.
Still in the league now.
I forgot. There was actually a time he was with the Pistons. And somebody was like, oh, Blake Griffin had a great game in Detroit.
He was with Boston, right?
Yeah. He was with Boston this year.
Yeah, like all of a sudden he walked out like when they were getting blown out, I think, by the Heat in one of the games. And I'm like, Blake Griffin's on the Boston
Yeah, I was
Celtics.
Like, it's not even that I forgot he was in the NBA. I forgot he existed as a person in reality.
The other reason why I thought about Blake Griffin is because he's been a suspected baby daddy of a famous star.
Oh, yeah, right, right.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, that's the only reason why Blake Griffin's ever like come up in conversation. All right, so there, Adam Schein's six was we bring up Myles Garrett because he said Myles Garrett wins Defensive Player of the Year.
I mean, yeah, he's got the talent for it. I just don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how good Cleveland actually is this year. I know that there are a lot of people that think that Cleveland's going to be really good. Deshaun Watson's going to turn back to Deshaun Watson form. And this isn't because of Myles Garrett. I need that to be known. I just don't see it. I don't think the Browns are going to, I think they're going to, at best, they're going to be like an 8-9 win team. They're in a tough division.
Yeah. And I think the Texans, I think the Texans pick next year will end up being like the 11th or 12th pick in the draft. And
yeah.
I think like the Browns pick.
Just wait till we get to my bold prediction.
Like 13th or 14th.
Yeah.
Number five, Josh Allen wins the MVP. That's not a bold prediction.
No,
that's just lazy. Packers post second worst record.
I don't necessarily think that that's a bold prediction. This all rests on the shoulders of Jordan Love.
I think it's a lot because look, they have two rookie tight ends that they drafted. They have a rookie wide receiver and two second year wide receivers in Dobbs and Christian Watson. You have Jordan Love who hasn't played at all.
Right.
Like it seems like you have a good coach, but there's a lot of question marks.
They have some nice pieces on defense, though.
Yeah, like
they've still got a good defense.
So like I don't think it's. I think they're the most unpredictable team this year.
Yes.
You could tell me that the Packers are the first pick in the draft next year, or the Packers, like, just kill me now. Jordan Love is the next Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, and they win the division. Like, I'm going to be a miserable human being.
Well, either way, it's...
Honestly, like, I might have to give up on football.
Either way, it's bad for you, because if they're good, Jordan Love's good.
If
they're bad, they get Caleb Williams.
I need them to be like... I need them to win five games.
Yeah, yeah. You need them to be at... Well, then they might just get Drake May.
I need them to win six games. Like, I need them to win, like, six or seven games. Not make the playoffs, but not be bad enough to get Caleb Williams.
Man, I don't know if they're going to be good enough to win six or seven games, though.
I think it's really going to be, like, it's going to be a roller coaster for them. They're either going to be really bad, or I think they're going to be solid.
It's also going to be a roller coaster for you as well. It's going to be fun watching.
You know what's so funny is, like, week one, Bears-Packers, like... I should be like, oh, yeah, they're going to get him this year, and I just expect to get my heart broken.
What if Jordan Love throws for, like, 340 yards, three touchdowns?
Oh, I don't like
Christian Watson is just a superstar.
I don't like the early reports for Justin out of camp. They have no wide receivers showing up. Chase Claypool sucks. They don't like him.
I don't. And to think that all they did was trade the first pick in the second round for him.
That's a bad trade.
Yeah.
Their third one, Cardinals don't win a game.
Some of these aren't bold predictions. This is just fact. Like, I don't.
I think this is pretty bold.
You think this one's bold?
I mean, the last team to do it was the Lions in 2008.
That's fair.
If the prediction was the Cardinals win less than two games, I'd be like, boring.
Yeah, I guess maybe when I see don't win a game, I'm thinking that too. I'm not thinking the actual full
like
0-17 season. So that part of it's bold. I think the heart of what he's trying to say is the Cardinals are going to be one of the worst teams in the league. I don't think that's bold. If the Cardinals don't win a single game, I think this is only kind of slightly bold because they're going to be awful.
Yeah, they're going to be very bad, and I think they'll have a hard decision to make when Kyler's ready to come back.
Yeah,
because like if they're going to be in position to draft Kyler Murray. I mean, to draft Caleb Williams.
Trade Kyler Murray. Trade him and then draft Caleb.
Yeah. And I don't know what you could get for Kyler. I would assume you would still get, like, at least two first-round picks.
Something. Even if it's just a first. Just get him out of there. Bring Caleb in.
Like, yeah. Could you walk away with the first pick, whatever the Texans is, and then two more first by moving Kyler?
Yeah.
Eating all that dead cap? Like, yeah. I think that's very much on the table. Number two, Saints earn the NFC's number one seed.
I think this might be the least bold take out of all of them.
We had a pretty healthy debate about this yesterday on the Killer
Bee. I predicted when I was doing my own like NFL predictions last year and Super Bowl predictions, my prediction was if the quarterback position is just even slightly above average, the Saints have so much talent around it that they're going to end up going to the Super Bowl. So I predicted the Saints in the Super Bowl last year. I think Derek Carr is not just a slight step up at the quarterback position. I think he's a pretty substantial step up at the quarterback position. They still have a lot of talent there. We don't know what's going to happen with Alvin Kamara, but they signed Jamal Williams. They drafted Kendra Miller. I think Kendra Miller should be one of the most interesting names when we're talking about rookie players, where he's going to fit in. If Kamara gets suspended, does he get more playing time? And how does he fit into that offense? Chris Olave was incredible in his rookie year, so Derek Carr has him to throw to. Who knows if Michael Thomas is ever going to come back and play football ever again. I don't see it, maybe, but that would be good for them. But defensively, they have one of the best defenses, I think, talent-wise, scheme-wise. I think they have one of the best defenses in the NFL. So this, to me, is not a bold prediction because the NFC is relatively weak.
Yeah.
And they're really good.
It does feel like they're a little bit disorganized, like in the coaching side of it, though.
Yeah, like, a little bit.
I really wonder how the NFL views John Gruden, because John Gruden was at Saints camp, implementing the offense for them, because the guy who's the head coach now was in Oakland with Derek Carr and John Gruden. John Gruden's also working out with Carson Wentz currently,
right,
which is interesting. I think he's waiting for the right opportunity. Carson Wentz, I think, will get one when someone gets hurt. Like a solid team will take a chance on Carson.
Right.
But like, I almost wonder, like, if Gruden could be the Saints head coach next year.
That'd be interesting.
Like, if they don't make the playoffs, like, if there's enough there that, like, Gruden, Carr. To me, the Saints is really going to come down to Michael Thomas. Like, Chris Olave is awesome. Like, if Michael Thomas is healthy and, like, can be back to what he was a couple years ago, him and Olave is nasty.
Yeah.
And Willie said in here, besides the NFC East, are the other three divisions basically wide open? I mean, I would say the NFC East is wide open, too, because I think you can make an argument that Cowboys will win, like, quite a bit of games. And, look, the Commanders, they play well. And there has been a joke of a shadow over that franchise since Daniel Snyder bought it.
Yeah.
And he's gone now. Like, it's not official, but it's almost done.
They just need a quarterback. And we could see maybe Sam Howell is that guy. But I think that's going to be one of the other teams that's vying for one of these top quarterbacks.
Some people are just built for bad takes. Chris Sims is one of them. Chris Sims put out his top 40 quarterbacks.
Sam Howell in there?
He had Sam Howell in front of the rookies.
Oh, let's go.
And I get, like, a lot of people, like, automatically put the rookies last.
Right.
Sam Howell hasn't played a snap.
Yeah,
Sam Howell was drafted in the fifth round.
Yeah.
How is he in front of C.J. Stroud?
He's had a year of seasoning, Joe. He's had a year with NFL coaches.
Like, they were basically telling me that Sam Howell should have been the number one pick last year.
That's wild, yeah.
Like, what do you... And the last one here.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever
Sam
seen.
Sam Darnold and the 49ers win the Super Bowl over the New York Jets.
What's worse, me saying Myles Garrett's going to be a bust in the NFL or Sam Darnold beats Jets in Super Bowl?
This one.
This one is way worse. This is one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Joel, like, broke it down, I think, really well yesterday. This take is crazy on like a bunch of different levels. The Jets going to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Like, it's not the hottest take in the world, but they play in the AFC East. They have to go through Mahomes, Herbert, all these guys. Allen, like Aaron Rodgers has to do that. Nathaniel Hackett is clearly a bad play caller. Like, yes. We saw how much of it was a disaster last year in Denver. Like, just because Aaron
Rodgers. He works with Aaron Rodgers, though. I think Aaron Rodgers gets it. What I think it comes down to is Aaron Rodgers is just smarter than as a quarterback than
like Nathaniel Hackett. Your best running back's coming off a torn ACL. Garrett Wilson, incredible. But, like, kind of some question marks elsewhere. Like, a bunch of former Packers are pretty much there now. What, Lazard and Randall Cobb.
Yeah.
Like, how great's your wide receiver room? You know, the defense is solid. It's pretty good. But will Quinnen Williams even show up at some point? Mekhi Becton, the offensive line, bunch of question marks. I think Dwayne Brown's even still there. And then, so that's that. 49ers, like, Sam Darnold is going to win the job. Because that's what he says in the story, is that Sam Darnold starts with the job, plays well enough to win the job. You're not talking about, like, Brock Purdy gets hurt again, and then Sam Darnold takes over and leads them to the promised land. He's saying Sam Darnold is the new franchise quarterback for the 49ers. Crazy.
Yeah, that
he stinks.
That by far is the craziest part of this. Like, I could see a world. I could see the path. It's not a great one, but I can see the path for the Jets to make the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I just see zero path for Sam Darnold becoming the quarterback. I've heard really good things about Trey Lance in OTAs and stuff so far. I think there's been some struggles, but a lot of the players, there was a quote from Eric Armstead saying that the sky's the limit for this kid. Just some of the stuff that he's done in camp has been pretty incredible. So
I wouldn't rule out the Trey Lance comeback at some point. He's Josh Beard. I'm Joe George. We got our bowl predictions for the 2023 NFL season for the NFL and for the Texans. Plus, we heard from Lance McCullers a little bit today. We'll give you the latest on what he told the media when we get back here on the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.com. Sports Scooby Snacks.
This sure is a creepy place.
Yeah.
Is the Bullpen live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios? Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, wrapping up here with some more NFL talk. Lance McCullers, before we get to that, met with the media. Just talked about how he's going through a mixed bag of emotions right now, pretty much. Was pitching through pain all of last year, and he went into his surgery with the belief that they were going to have to take grafts and repair his UCL. So he was preparing to go into that surgery on Tuesday this last week to get Tommy John.
Yeah.
And when he woke up, that's when he realized it was like the flexor tendon, and it wasn't a full UCL repair that he needed. So that is a positive. But he said his plan was to try to just pitch through the pain this year like he did last year. Which, look, if you look at Lance's numbers last year, they weren't great. His velocity wasn't there. His break wasn't there on some of his pitches. He was not peak Lance McCullers.
Right.
We saw it in the postseason. And it's a little, I think, maybe it was reckless. You know, it's great that he was there and he did help. But, like, was it worth it? Like, could you have won the World Series last year without Lance McCullers? Yep.
Yeah.
You had Hunter Brown and Jose Urquidy in the bullpen.
Yeah.
Like, you could have had Lance McCullers potentially healthy for this season. He could have had a surgery last year, and this is one of those where sometimes teams need to do a better job, specifically I think the Astros, of telling a player when, like, we know what's better for you than you. Because if Lance was pitching through pain last year, then they could have potentially had this surgery last season, and he could have been ready for this season when you need him. When last year you had Justin Verlander, Luis Garcia, Framber Valdez, Christian Javier, Hunter Brown, like, you had all these guys, and like, you could have won the World Series without Lance McCullers, 110%.
It's just, it's penny smart, dollar foolish. This is one of those times where you have to look at the training staff and say, why did you not recommend a surgery?
Now, did they?
It should be about the long term with him.
100%. Like, because he was pitching through pain. It's like, why wasn't there? I mean, look, he didn't pitch till August. Like, you literally didn't have him for like 80% of the season.
Right.
So, like, what's the difference? Like, yeah, you wouldn't have had him for the postseason run. And that would have been a bummer. It would, like, my most viral TikTok I've ever made, like interviewing Lance McCullers in the clubhouse wouldn't exist. But like outside of that, like what does it matter?
Right.
Like he wouldn't have had his cool speech in the club. He could have still given that. Michael Brantley gave a speech to help him win the World Series. Like it would have been fine.
Yeah.
Like,
and you would have him this year when you need him more than you've ever needed him.
Yeah. So it sucks that, you know, look, that's the path they took. They won the World Series last year. Maybe they don't win the World Series. They don't have Lance McCullers. You can't prove it. You can't do the butterfly effect, but I think you could have. Can you win the World Series this year without Lance McCullers? Yes. Will they? We'll see. All right. So we just threw Adam Schein's bowl predictions for the last season. We'll do a couple things here. So
I want to call them the bowl predictions because they're like toilet bowl predictions because they're all awful.
Do you have a Super Bowl prediction?
A Super Bowl prediction?
Today?
I haven't really thought about it.
I haven't really either. It's hard for me not to go. It's really hard to not think Chiefs-Eagles.
Yeah, it is. The only team that I really see that I think they could come into their own, although they have a lot of turmoil going on, I could see the Bills being the AFC team.
Buffalo's tough.
But apparently now Sean McDermott's trying to tell Leslie Frazier that he wants to be the defensive play caller. Like, he wants to call the defensive plays, and Leslie Frazier said, no, that's not going to happen.
And that's why Frazier's gone.
Yeah, there's some turmoil there. There's the Stephon Diggs stuff. So seems like there's some stuff going on with behind the scenes with the Bills that are kind of problematic. You don't beat a team like the Chiefs if you've got problems like that going on.
It would be really hard for me to, like, go into the season, like, when we make our official predictions at some point on all of our shows, to not say Chiefs or Bengals and then Eagles or 49ers.
Yeah.
Like, I guess, like, I've learned too much from trying to be cutesy with my predictions when I've done them. Like, my last year NFL prediction, I put the Chargers in. I knew I was going to be wrong.
They look like they were going to be really good, though.
You know who else? And I do that again. There's two teams. It's that city, even though the Chargers aren't there anymore. I'm just done with you. I'm done with you, San Diego. I bet on the Padres to lose the World Series to the Astros this year. They stink.
Yeah, they're awful. I thought that they were going to be so good.
They have
good.
So much talent.
Yeah.
Like, the Chargers and the Padres are so – they have all this talent, and they do nothing with it.
Nothing at all. It's funny watching people make these predictions like, oh, Justin Herbert's going to be the number one quarterback. Like, probably not, though.
Probably not. like, could they use DeAndre Hopkins? Like, yeah, because, you know, Keenan Allen and Mike Williams are going to get hurt.
Yeah. They're relying – when those guys get hurt, they're relying on a rookie wide receiver who had drop problems at TCU. Yeah.
And Josh Palmer.
Josh Palmer, for some reason, everybody's fantasy darling.
He was mine when he got drafted, but then I gave up early.
Yeah.
I don't really know how else I go past that. So I guess because I officially have a bets on the record that the Bears win the division, I guess that's one of my bold predictions that the Bears win the NFC North.
Technically, yeah.
The one I gave yesterday that it kind of contradicts what we said a little bit earlier about the Browns, but like, I don't really know if people will vote for him because – especially like the moral police are definitely like embedded in the writers of sports. I think Deshaun Watson could win the MVP this year.
Ooh, that is a bold prediction. I don't think he's going to be good enough. I think he is. I think there are some issues that I saw last year where the amount of time off that he had, I just don't know that he's going to be able to make it back up. A lot of his issues came down to the fact that he couldn't read defenses and he wasn't reading coverage. And that's a huge problem for a quarterback.
The only I use another scumbag as an example of, remember how bad Mike Vick was when he first put on the Eagles uniform?
That's true.
And then what it turned into?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's fair. But how good was he?
Yeah.
He was not back to Mike Vick, and he wasn't.
I mean, he was title game with the Eagles.
He was good, but he wasn't good for that
he
long.
He was a better passer.
He had a small window. He was a much better passer.
All right, really quick.
My bold prediction, the Texans pick that they traded away.
Better than the Browns?
Actually going to be worse than the Browns pick. It's going to be like the Browns are going to have a worse record than the Texans.
Yeah, I don't. You said it right, but I think I also said it right. You said it's going to be worse than the Browns.
I'll say it this way.
I said it's going to be better.
The Texans will have a better record than the Browns will this year.
Well, I guess we just contradicted each other.
Yeah.
Yay! he's Josh Beard. You can find him on Twitter at Josh Beard Radio. You can find him doing Twitch streams, twitch.tv/ToothPete. I'm Joe George. You can find me on Twitter at Joe George Radio, part of the Killer Bees. Josh Chevy, our producer on Twitter. I am Jay Chevy. Josh will be back tomorrow. Chevy, that is. With the Sunday Bullpen, it'll be RJ and Sean Mapes. BMAC's off for Father's Day. So happy Father's Day to all the dads out there, including ours. We will talk to you next week.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Watch out for that foot bone.
I would like to rear up and jackknife my legs and kick you both in the jaw with my foot bone.